me again to Hebrews chapter 6. This will be a stepping stone into the message for tonight. Hebrews chapter 6. Look down at verse 18. The writer of Hebrews says that by two immutable things, unchangeable, never changing, two immutable things, the Word of God and His oath, two immutable things, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, two immutable things. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. If he ever lied, wouldn't be God, would he? It'd destroy everything. In which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Now, I want to just use that consolation there as a stepping stone into our message for tonight. But the word consolation is the exact same word as Jesus said that He would give us the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. The Comforter. Consolation. The Comforter. We have great comfort from God. As a matter of fact, such great comfort that if you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 40, such great comfort, when you look here in verse 40, He gives double. He gives double. He says in Isaiah 40 verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Double for all her sins. Augustus' top lady in his song Rock of Ages said, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Two things, save from wrath and make me pure. The Lord is going to give double. Isaiah says that again in Isaiah chapter 61 in a different way, but the same thing. Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 4. Speaking about those who would come back, the remnant, those that are the elect, verse 4, and they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame, double. For your shame, ye shall receive double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Notice, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. There's the double. He has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of his righteousness. You know, sin causes shame. Sin causes, actually with sin, there is no comfort. There is shame. As a matter of fact, instability is part of our shame, because the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. If the Lord should mark iniquity, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness and plenteous redemption with the Lord. Look at Psalm 31 with me for just a moment before we continue on. Psalm 31. We'll be going to several scriptures. Psalm 31. And verse 10. David writes and says, "For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. My bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel." Those are the sinners that need comfort. That's me. And I need the comfort that only God can give. You know, men hide themselves just like Adam. In sin and shame, like Adam, in Adam, as a matter of fact. As our federal head, in Adam when he sinned. In Adam when he hid because of his shame. They think, and I heard this just this last week, "Well, I'm as good as anybody else." And I looked at him and said, "You sure are. You sure are. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one." That's where you stand. That's where I stand. They think by their works that they can please God, but Paul said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." They think that if they'll do like Adam, they'll just blame somebody else and make themselves feel better and make themselves look better. "Who art thou, O man, that judges? With what judgment you judge, it shall be meted to you again." We're all naked before our God. He sees all. He knows all. He hears all. There's not one thing that's done that he does not know about. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And we need to understand that it's sin that separates a man from God. "Your sins have hid his face from you," Isaiah said. And we need someone. We need a Savior. We need that double cure that Isaiah told us about. We need that double of grace that God gives. Grace for grace. Don't you like that? Grace for grace. You just can't get enough.
It just keeps on coming.
Grace after grace. You see, we need a Savior because we're sinners. We have no hope within us. We need a Savior. And our Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and go down to verse 12. But this man, speaking of Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting to his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he said before, this is my covenant, that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I'll remember them no more. Now that's the choice of the Lord. He can remember anything he wants to. But that's his choice. I won't remember them against mine elect. I won't remember them against those that are sanctified and those that are perfected. I just won't remember them. I'm not going to bring them up. But we do ourselves, don't we? We do ourselves. We bring our own sins up and we browbeat ourselves. Sometimes I get up in the morning and I think, how in the world God could love someone like me? And then I think, well, he don't even remember those sins. He died for them. He paid for them. He purged them. They're rid of. Turn back one page there, or one chapter there, chapter 9, verse 24 of Hebrews. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I need that Savior. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot do without him. At night when I lay down and think about my day, I wonder how many awful things that I've done. I can think of quite a few of them. But you know what? The Bible says even the plowing of the wicked is sin, and I just wonder if some of the good that I thought I was doing was not good at all. As a matter of fact, before him it wasn't. No good at all. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. And like Adam, in a certain sense, there was innocency. But innocency wasn't enough. There had to be something else. And that's what the Lord did for us. Justice had to be satisfied. Righteousness had to be fulfilled. The prince of the power of the air must be defeated eternally. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that for his people. I need a righteousness that will stand eternally. When God says, be thou holy for I am holy, I realize that's not me. When God says, be thou perfect, for I am perfect, I realize that's not me. I need a righteousness that's not my own, that's imputed, given to me, that I may stand before a holy God and a perfect God. I cannot stand of my own self. I'm without hope, without God in this world, without Christ. And the Bible says, He is the Lord our righteousness. And to enter into His presence, He was made to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. On the cross, He suffered and died for His people. There was the climax of a perfect, obedient life. There was the consuming of the wrath and the fire of God, a just God, upon sin as He was made to be sin for us. And there at the end of the ordeal of the cross, He cries out, "It is finished." Will you allow me to say it in Greek? Te telecta. Paid in full. It's just like when you made a bill and you're paying on it in time. When you finally make that last payment, they stamp that thing paid in full. Here there on the cross, He took every sin of all His people of all time. And He paid it in full. No wonder He won't remember them. They're paid for. God was satisfied, Isaiah said. He redeemed His people from the curse of the law. And then He was raised for our justification. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit is no guile. Remember Nathaniel? He was invited to come and see Jesus. On His way there, the Lord Jesus spoke to him and said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." He referred to this verse. Nathaniel was one of His chosen. One of His chosen. "Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee." My salvation is wrapped up outside myself. It's wrapped up in a person who's right now sitting on a throne, governing everything until all of His enemies are made or put at His footstool. He's doing a lot more than that on the throne too. We'll see here in just a minute. There's comfort. There's comfort. My sins are all gone. The wrath of God is not upon me. Let me show you another double. I have several here, but I don't think we're going to have time for all of them. Let me show you another double. Go with me to Exodus 39. Exodus 39. Double for our sins. Exodus 39. Go to verse 8. We're making the robes and things for the high priest. In verse 8, the one that was doing it, "And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen. It was four square. They made the breastplate double." There's a picture of our high priest the Lord Jesus Christ, wearing the breastplate that was doubled. Now, on that breastplate were the names of all the tribes of Israel, which represented all his people, on his chest, the people of his love. And it was also on his shoulders, all their names on his shoulders, the people that he holds up, the people that he strengthens, the people that he keeps, the people that he holds on to. The government shall be upon his shoulders. You see, this speaks of our high priest, of his love and of his keeping power. The Bible says, Paul said it this way, there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, our substitute. This mediator, this high priest, did the unusual thing. All the other high priests brought the lamb. He was the lamb. All the other high priests killed the lamb. He gave up his own life. All the other high priests bled that lamb. He bled and died for you and me as our substitute. He was the sacrifice for you and me. And there he sits on his throne right now, interceding for us. The Lord Jesus Christ interceding for you and me. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors, Isaiah said. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost that come unto him, come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. But there's double. There's the Lord Jesus Christ who makes intercession for us, but there's the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us too. You'll find both of them in Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit interceding for us, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, and the Lord Jesus interceding for us, Romans chapter 8, verse 34. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's able to succor, help those in times of trouble. And because of him, we're able to come to the throne of grace, there to find help and mercy in time of need. I don't know what greater comfort we would need. There we find mercy. There we find grace. And the sinner, you know, must be reconciled to God. And so by his own precious blood, he reconciles the sinner to the Lord. By his irresistible grace, he brings that sinner to himself. The Lord Jesus is our comfort. The Lord Jesus is our peace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let's begin with verse 14, which says plainly, he is the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. There is a beautiful illustration of those last few words right there, found in Zechariah. Would you turn there with me, please? Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah is the next to the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi the last, Zechariah just before that. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, let's begin with verse 6. There are four main characters that are involved in these words that we read here. Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer. Ezra was the priest. Zechariah was the preacher. Zerubbabel was the builder. Verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, Grace! Grace unto it. The headstone is Jesus Christ. Double grace. Double portion. Grace. Grace. That's the sound that we hear. That's the shouting toward that the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who is full of grace and truth. The only one. Now it says in verse 9, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Zerubbabel started it. Zerubbabel will finish it. The Lord started it. The Lord will finish it. Just as simple as that. And aren't you glad that the Lord is the one who does it? We'd mess it up somehow. We surely would. We surely would. Well, there's another one I want to talk about. Another double in here. If you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter... Let's see. No, let's go to Numbers chapter 3, verse 13. Numbers chapter 3, verse 13. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 13. You remember at the first Passover, and then the Exodus, that the Lord required them to have a lamb, keep it up for 3 days, shed its blood, and with the blood put it on the door panels. And he said, When I pass through Egypt this night, when the blood's on the door panel, I'll pass by that one. When we're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, what He did for us in His death, burial, and resurrection, what He shed for us, He passes by. He don't remember. Don't remember those sins. They're all purged. They're all gone. All our sins are gone. Now in verse 13, he talks about the firstborn. He says, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall he be. I am the Lord. All the firstborn are his. Well, who are the firstborn? Who are the firstborn? Turn to Colossians. Let's see. No, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start there. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The church of the firstborn. I'm looking at a lot of firstborns. I'm the thirdborn in my family. But when the Lord chose me, He chose me as a firstborn. And you know what the firstborn gets? Jot this down somewhere and you can look it up. In Deuteronomy 21, 15 through 17, he gets a double portion. The Lord gives us a double portion of His grace, of His wonders, of all that He is. Oh my. What a blessed Lord we have. What a blessed Lord we have. He is the double grace that I need. He alone pardons. He alone purges. He alone puts away sin. He alone has paid for all my sin. He alone is my righteousness. I stand complete in Him. No wonder Paul said to that Philippian jailer who was about to take his life, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The psalmist David said it this way in Psalm 80. Three times he says this. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you for what you've done for us. So undeserving we are, and yet you chose us. You chose us among sinners, and we are sinners. You made us to be our Savior, and then we are made the righteousness of God in you. Father, thank you for so great salvation. Amen. Let's stand and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.